of you. And if you're visiting today, I'd like to mention the fact that I am not the normal speaker. We have two good preachers in Jim Kahn and Scott Clements, so you'll have to come back next week and hear them speak. This morning, we're obviously going to be looking at a theme called Carpe Diem. What does it mean? What does life mean? What does it mean to live life? And have you ever sat and pondered your life and what it means? I know as a young boy, I used to lay in bed awake at nights and wonder why I was me. And sometimes to the point it became a little disturbing to try and figure that out on my own. But going further than that, have you ever wondered how to get the most out of your life? And what would that look like? In this world, there are many people that we look to and many that have said inspirational things. Christopher Columbus was a man that made four trips across the Atlantic Ocean from Spain, starting in 1492. He was determined to find a direct route via water from West Europe to Asia, but he never did. Instead, he accidentally stumbled upon the Americas. And he's noted with saying, "You can never cross the ocean until you have the courage to lose the sight of shore." And as a boater, it's interesting. I often fish many days out of the sight of shore. And you don't even realize it, but on the way back, the first building you see, the first shoreline you start to see, there's a peace that starts to come over you because you didn't even realize the nervousness you were feeling while you were out in the ocean. And staying with the same thing, Mark Twain once said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you did not do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. So what is the common thread in these two examples? Land. The land that represents safety. It is unsafe to be out in turbulent waters. Land is where we live, and we're afraid to wander too far from it. We want to be safe. Even Scripture reflects the fact that we find safety and stability on solid ground. In Psalms 95, we read, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Salvation in Scripture is often compared to a rock, something solid, something immovable, something we can count on always being there. And if we consider the opposite, we find in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, "As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness or deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love." Or, as James says it in chapter 1, starting in verse 6, "But we must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." These two scriptures show the instability and dangers of the wind and the sea. If we are outside of Christ, we are unstable. We are out of the sight of land. We're in dangerous waters. If we continue looking at some great men in history and some things they've inspired us to do, one man who I believe could have changed the world or the history in the course of the world is Winston Churchill. And it was his duty on June 8th in 1940 to address Parliament. Nazi Germany had just taken over Europe with a form of war known as Blitzkrieg, which had never been seen before. And it was with this daunting task he was given to address Parliament with a speech that is known as the Finest Hour. And this speech ends by Winston saying, "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will say, this was their finest hour." I want you to think for just a moment about the 1,000 years and file that away. We'll speak to that toward the end of this sermon. But Winston wanted them to act in a way that would be remembered 1,000 years. Also, on July 20th, 1969, at 10:56 p.m., the first human was ready to set foot on another world. With more than 500 million people watching on television, Neil Armstrong would climb down the ladder and proclaim, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." These examples I've given are people in history who we hold in high esteem. But even the common person, every one of us, there's some desire inside of us to live a life that matters. It's reflected in our society and even in our songs. There's one very secular band that even speaks to this in a verse out of their song. It says, "Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that's pouring like an avalanche and coming down the mountain." So what does all this mean? What is the world searching for? What is lasting in this world? The world would sum it up in two words, carpe diem. Did you know? Whoop, I got off on the slide presentation. Sorry about that. That's the Neil Armstrong, and that is the avalanche coming down the mountain. But did you know that carpe diem actually comes from the Roman poet Horace and literally means pluck the day? Though we usually translate it seize the day, a free translation or a very loose translation might be enjoy yourself while you have the chance. And for some people, carpe diem serves as the closest thing to a philosophy of life they may ever have. But enjoying yourself is not seizing the day. And it is not what we as Christians should be focused on. Yes, it is good to enjoy oneself, but our focus needs to be different. So how does a Christian seize the day? Well, believe it or not, this thought of carpe diem started many months ago in my mind, and therefore I've been thinking about it quite often. And as some of you know, our daughter Rachel graduated in April 29th of this year. And we went to hear a speaker at that service, at the graduation ceremony, by the name of Ken Mahaney's. And he spoke to that graduating class, and it reinforced some of the thoughts I had been thinking. And the theme of that speech may be a little different than what you would think we should tell our kids. But he said, safety should be last. And I found that interesting because we have become obsessed as a society with safety. We have to be safe in everything we do. We have to always make sure what will the consequences be. And I travel quite often, and every day now I'm traveling to Orlando and sometimes to Miami. So I listen to the radio. And traveling to those cities, I listen to the radio mostly for traffic reports because you can get stuck in traffic there. But it's interesting because one of the stations I listen to has every 6 minutes they come on with reports on what to be careful about. One of them is if the clouds are building, go indoors. There could be a possibility of lightning. There's high winds. Stay indoors. Things could be blown around. Trees could fall. If the surf is too high, they want you off the beach. You could get caught in a rip current. But my favorite thing, if you know, me and my wife's AC in our house went down at the beginning of summer. Well, I'm driving in one morning and I hear the newest safety alert. It said, "Do not go outside today. And make sure to drink plenty of water. It is too hot and you may be in danger of heat stroke." And I thought, I don't want to go inside because my house feels like an oven. It is cooler outside. And I started thinking, you know, air conditioning is something that is new to our generation. The previous generation grew up without it. And now we have safety warnings not to go outside if it gets above a certain degree. So Dr. Mahaney's talked to them about living life in a reckless manner. Not to physically endanger yourself, but he used our scripture reading this morning as his reference, 2 Corinthians 11. And I will not reread that now, but if you think about it, Paul took no care for his safety. He was beaten. He worked hard. He had 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods, stone, shipwreck. He spent a day and a night at sea or in the deep, as he says it. He faced dangers from robbers, from countrymen, meaning within, from Gentiles, meaning without. He faced dangers in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, from false brethren. He went without food, and he was exposed. And the one thing that we didn't read, among all those physical hardships that he was enduring because he was not living life in a safe manner, he says, apart from such as external things, there is a daily pressure of me concerning you for all the churches. He had the churches on his mind. So as we start to look more at what seize the day as a Christian means, I look to a song that is sung by Christian artists that says, seize the day, seize whatever you can. Life slips away just like hourglass sand. Seize the day and pray for grace from God's hand. Then nothing will stand in your way. And sometimes I think these type of words can get misused in our minds. Because if you think nothing will stand in your way, then let us consider, what does that mean? What does it really mean to have nothing stand in our way? In our scripture reading, did Paul have anything standing in his way? I can see him easily saying, well, you know what, guys, my ship sank, so God doesn't want me to go anywhere. I'm going to stay right here with you. Or he could have said, well, hey, you know, I went out to those Gentiles. They really mistreated me. So I think God's really calling me to stay among the brethren here with the Jews. So I'm not going to do that. Or he could even say, you know, I was told by prophets that if I continue my journey, I'm going to be killed. So, you know, God definitely doesn't want me to keep going. But I thank God for the perseverance and Paul's desire to preach Christ regardless of his circumstances. Although his outward life was falling apart on a daily basis, his spiritual life was clinging to the rock of salvation, allowing him to continue. He was spiritually safe, the only true safety that we have in this world. I also look to an example of Casey Bernal. Casey was one of the students who lost her life in the Columbine shooting on April 20th, 1999. And Casey's death, like all of those who were lost that day, was tragic. But through the loss of her life, many people came into contact with the Word of God, and they may have never considered Jesus as an option until that day. And even that event inspired a song by a Christian artist, Michael W. Smith, who in his song, the lyrics of that says, this is your time, this is your dance. Live every moment, leave nothing to chance. Swim in the sea, drink of the deep. Follow the mercy and hear yourself praying. And as I hear that song, I think of Philippians 3, starting in verse 7. We read, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." And this sums it up, starting in verse 10. He continues saying, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the righteousness from the dead." This is living life in full measure. So I would say to you, live life large. Do not be afraid and seek Christ in all that you do. Jesus is our shore, and we take him with us wherever we go, even if we're not in sight of land. In 1 John 4, verse 17, "By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because he is also, or I'm sorry, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. It is by his love that we have no fear, and can reflect that love to those in this world, even those who may seek to harm us." In John 10, starting in verse 7, we read, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes in only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.'" So today I would say that you should live as a friend of mine, Jose, would say, "Drive fast and take chances, but not for the things of this world, but for Christ." Consider how many people will spend an eternity in the presence of God due to Paul's actions versus all the other people we have talked about and all of the other quotes we've used. The difference in the worldly Christian, or in the worldly carpe diem, is focus on self. In the Christian carpe diem, we are to focus on others and bringing those who don't know Jesus into his kingdom. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, but the only way we will have the abundant life is through Jesus Christ. So I'd like to close with this thought. If you remember, Winston Churchill wanted their actions that they took on that day to be remembered for 1,000 years. But if we look at the song Amazing Grace, the closing line says, "If we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Can you imagine 1,000 years being remembered is a notable task? But in heaven, 10,000 years doesn't even start. It's not even the beginning. We will be praising God for an eternity. And that's the difference that a Christian life can make on someone who is not yet saved. We must, as Christians, have an eternal view on life, or we will never live this life abundantly. If you are here today and you're a Christian and you have lost track of that abundant life and wish to come up and talk to anyone, there will be people up here after the service that you can speak to. But if you're not a Christian and you want a taste of that abundant life, you can come up and we'll talk with you also. So if you have a need in any way, won't you please come as we stand and as we sing.